We celebrate the solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord, one of the big feast days in the church year. In fact, this has been called the biggest feast day that's not a holy day of obligation in the church year. Because most of the big feast days, like Christmas or Solemnity of the Mother of God or the Ascension, well, actually, in this country, they're not all holy days of obligation, but big feast days are generally holy days of obligation. This one is not, but it's still a very big feast day because what we celebrate today is the beginning of the life of God as man, the beginning of the moment when the Word became flesh. So it's really more than Annunciation, isn't it? Annunciation is what the angel did, right? The angel announced to Mary what was God's plan for her. Then there was Mary's response, let it be done to me according to your word, and then the incarnation of the word. So it's Annunciation, it's the perfect response to that Annunciation, and then the fruit of that divine and human interaction, God enters into the world as man. So it's really a big, big, big feast, and it's something that we should celebrate with joy. I can't help but connect our celebration today with the pilgrimage that we just completed. Some of you were on it, and I know many who not everyone could join, but we had a very beautiful and blessed 4 days in Cebu. In fact, we got back after midnight, so we really got back this morning. The conclusion of the pilgrimage was a mass yesterday evening at the Basilica of the Santo Niño. And it turned out to be the vigil mass of this feast, the Annunciation. So I've been celebrating the Annunciation since I was in Cebu last night, and I'm very happy to be able to do it. It was very providential that we could have that mass in the Basilica, because it wasn't our original plan to celebrate the Annunciation. The idea was we had a retreat on Sunday and then half of Monday. That was part of the pilgrimage. Retreat Sunday, half of Monday. And then we thought, okay, we'll conclude the retreat as we usually do with a mass, middle of the day, and then leave people with time for buying their pasalubong or visiting friends or going around Cebu. So that was the plan. But then we thought, well, we should really conclude with our pilgrimage to Cebu. At the heart of Cebu, the spiritual center of Cebu, is the Basilica of the Santo Niño. And there's lots of masses there. It's 5 masses every day, except on Friday. On Friday, I think there's 10 masses. So we said, oh, we'll just conclude our retreat with one of the masses. But the midday mass in the shrine is in Cebuano. So I couldn't offer a Cebuano mass. The English mass was at 5:30, which meant it was already going to be the vigil mass of today's feast. So I thought, wow, what a beautiful providence that even though it was not our plan to celebrate the Annunciation as part of the retreat, it turned out to be the conclusion of our pilgrimage to celebrate not only the cradle of Christianity in the Philippines, but the cradle of the incarnation in human history, the entry of the Word into time. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what happens at the Annunciation. So that's what we celebrated last night and all day today. I hope you celebrated today. This is not a Lenten day. This is a special day of celebration, a day of festivity. Lent will again continue after midnight tonight. We'll go back to our Lenten observances, but today we celebrate with joy. Now, it's such a big feast day that we have to focus on something, because it's connected to so many things, right? The incarnation, the identity of Jesus as God and man, the Angelus, the first glory, the first joyful mystery of the Rosary, the identity of Mary as Mother of God, so many things. Let me pick out just 2 ideas I'd like to focus on for tonight. One is the identity of Mary as the angel identifies her, and then one, the profound response of Mary. So just these 2 ideas. When the angel, it says here, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We know that. Her name was Mary. But when the angel came to her, he did not say what we say, Hail Mary. He said, Hail full of grace. In the Greek, there's a word that's used that the Archangel Gabriel used to greet Mary. It wasn't her name. It was a unique word. It's only used in the Bible one time, the whole Bible. Kekaritomene. Kekaritomene, a Greek word. And it's a complicated word. If you want to know a little grammar, it's the perfect passive participle. Feminine singular. So it's the verb for favoring someone. So not that she was favoring someone, she was favored, she was being favored. So it's something like, greetings, rejoice, hail, you who are being favored or who have been favored. It's a very hard thing to translate because it's a rich, rich word. But this is what Gabriel called her when St. Jerome was translating the Bible from Greek into Latin. He used gratia plena to translate this word, kekaritomine, and that in English turns out to be full of grace. So when we pray the Hail Mary, we say Hail Mary, put her name in there, and then we call her full of grace. We use both Mary and full of grace, the same person. The Archangel Gabriel does the same thing when he greets her, hail, full of grace, and she doesn't know what to make of it, or she's troubled. Why is he calling me this? And then he says, do not be afraid, Mary. So he uses the word Mary in his second address to her. Anyway, this is an identification of Mary from God's perspective. She's the one who has been highly favored. The Lord is with her. She didn't know maybe how highly favored she was, but God knew. And so he chose this humble virgin in a humble town, Nazareth. The mass we had yesterday had, oh gosh, a couple thousand people. There were a lot of people. The basilica was full of people on a Monday afternoon. And the sacristan told me every afternoon the basilica is full of people. So that was there was a choir and singing, and it was a beautiful festive thing. Here in tonight, we have how many people are here? About 20 or 30 people. But we do have a choir, and we're doing our best to celebrate this feast day. But even this simple chapel, kind of an out-of-the-way place, is nothing compared to the simplicity and poverty that God chose to enter into the world. He didn't enter into the world in Rome, or even in Jerusalem, or in any big city. And he didn't go to a place where there were lots of flowers and decorations and beautiful singing. He came to the home of a humble virgin, an unknown person. God, who you would think at the moment he's going to fulfill his long promised coming, at the moment the prophecy of Isaiah was going to come true, that the virgin was going to be with child, you would think he would choose somebody famous in a place that everyone would know something great was happening. No, he chose the littlest, the humblest, the most secret. It's a good indication of how God works. He chooses to do some of his greatest work in the most secret of ways. Okay. That's Mary. Now, I want to, for my second reflection here, point out how profound Mary's response is once she understands what God's will is. She did question, what's this going to mean? And the angel says, well, this is what it means. The Holy Spirit is going to be the power that makes it possible for you, a virgin, to give birth to a son. And not only that, your cousin Elizabeth, who was barren all her life, she's already 6 months pregnant, so proof that nothing's impossible for God. That was enough to convince Mary, this really is the will of God. And so she gives this beautiful response, and I want to point out how profound it is. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. So she identifies who she is. This is who I am, and that's why I can accept this mission, because I'm the handmaid of the Lord. But then she says, let it be done to me according to your word. And there's, I hope I don't bore you with this little bit of grammar, but this is a combination of active and passive. Active is when we do things, right? I will do this. Okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. That's active. Passive is, it will happen to me. It will happen to me. God is the one doing it, and I'm simply the recipient. But Mary puts both of these together. Let it be done to me. I'm choosing that it will happen to me, but it will happen according to your will. It's a great way of choosing the will of God. In fact, this is what we say in the Our Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm choosing, I'm acting, but I'm choosing in my action to let God's will reign. That's the passive part. It was in the Psalm too. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. You see what I'm saying? It's a combination of choosing and receiving, of acting and being passive, which is the heart of the spiritual life. God, it's not all God. He's not just doing his will and we don't have any say in the matter. God isn't forcing himself on us, and he didn't force himself into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it wasn't all Mary either. It's not all us either. It's not that Mary said, oh, now I know the plan of God, I'm going to do it. No. What I'm going to do is let God's will be done in me. And she did that to such a perfect degree that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that's the model for everything in our spiritual life, that we choose, we act, we decide to let God's will be done, to open ourselves to the plan of God, to the will of God. And when we do that, well, then God does what he wants. And what he wants is greater than we would have in mind anyway. And that's why it's the beginning of great things happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we could say a lot more about this feast day and about this mystery, but let's ask Mary to teach us this way of actively deciding to let God's will be done, saying, let it be done to me according to your word. Let your will be done. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. That's the secret to being a servant of the Lord, a handmaid of the Lord. It's also the secret of being fruitful for the kingdom of God, so that God's life can come into creation through us.